الحمد لله الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له ونشهد أن نبينا وحبيبنا محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الذين آتيناهم الكتاب يعرفونه كما يعرفون أبناءهم وقد قال صلى الله عليه وسلم دب إليكم داء الأمم الحسد والبغضاء صدق الله العظيم وصدق رسوله النبي الكريم ونحن على ذلك لمن الشاهدين والحمد لله رب العالمين. Respected brothers and elders, indeed we are often reminded of our religious, our ethical and moral duty towards fellow Muslim brothers and sisters when they are going through some pain, some difficulty, when they are in distress and agony. But how often are we really reminded, and if ever, of our duty to others when Allah has bestowed, endowed and favored them? When things are going well for a Muslim brother, how should I react? Should I sit back, connive, insinuate, plan a plot against him, burn with malice and jealousy? Or should I at least get up and congratulate him and tell him, well done, may Allah increase you even more? Surely this is the spirit of Islam and the teaching of our deen, to share in the joy and happiness of others. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he once drew a parable illustrating the unity of the ummah, where he cites an example of a human's body. And he says, my ummah, they are so united, like this one united body. إِلِشْتَكَى مِنْهُ عُضْوٌ If any part of the body has to experience some type of pain or difficulty, the entire body becomes restless. The person can't sleep at night. And on the same token, if any part of the body has to experience some joy or happiness, the entire body shares in that joy. This is the unity of the ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Unfortunately, we find one of the greatest evils that is destroying us internally, damaging our unity, affecting our community, is the harms of malice and jealousy, where you can't see the next person progressing. You wait for him to go through some difficulty. We wait for some person to be afflicted with some difficulty or calamity, and we take joy in that. This is not the teaching of Islam. This is a salient feature of the hypocrites. Islam advocates and propagates the wishing well for a Muslim brother. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam clearly explains in a hadith, and the reference is Tirmidhi, Dabba ilaykum da'ul umam. That epidemic and that deadly disease that was rife and slowly crept into my ummah. What is it? It is hasad, jealousy for the next. Not being able to accept that Allah has favored the next person. لا تحاسدوا أمة keep a clean heart for every person. Do not harbor malice and jealousy for the next. الدين النصيحة. What is the summary of this deen? Deen is to wish well for every believing male and female. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in another hadith explains, لا يجتمع في جوف عبد الإيمان والحسد. Then listen very carefully. Two things cannot occupy the heart of a person at once. Iman and jealousy, iman and void of. Explain the reason for this. That jealousy in reality is where a person is unpleased with the decision of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and a person is unhappy with the distribution of Allah, as if he's objecting, Ya Allah, why didn't you give it to me? I'm more worthy and deserving. And one of the greatest, one of the most disliked actions in the eyes of Allah is when a person takes the courage to question the judgment of Allah. Allah Rabbul Izzah very clearly in the Quran states, نَحْنُ قَسَمْنَا بَيْنَهُمْ مَعِيشَتَهُمْ We are the distributors. We will distribute according to our knowledge. No one has the right to question us. لَا يُسْأَلُ عَمَّا يَفْعَلُ وَهُمْ يُسْأَلُونَ No one has the authority to question Allah, why like this and not like that. Therefore, ulama explain that jealousy cannot come together with iman. Jealousy is anti-iman. Where a person objects and he finds a fault with the judgment of Allah. And part of our iman is to be happy and content with every judgment and decision of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If we study our history, we will understand Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam had trained his sahaba radiallahu anhum to such a level that they had complete clear hearts, clean hearts for every person. Anas bin Malik radiallahu anhu, that illustrious companion of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, when the Nabi of Allah had migrated to Medina, then the mother of Anas bin Malik radiallahu anhu approached him, "Ya Rasulullah, every resident of Medina has given you some type of gift, whether in the form of wealth, in the form of clothing, in the form of food, and I have absolutely nothing to give to you. So would you accept my humble request and accept this little child of mine in your care?" Nabi alayhi salam happily accepts Anas bin Malik at the age of 10 and takes him into his care. This illustrious companion then served the Nabi of Allah for 10 years of his life. After many years, he mentions that on one occasion the Nabi of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told me, "Ya Anas, in qadarta an tusbiha wa tumsi, wa laysa fi qalbika ghishun li ahadin faf'al." If you are able to monitor your heart morning and evening, and daily we monitor our sugar, our cholesterol, our pressure, we are very concerned about our outer appearance and our physical health. Nabi alayhi wa sallam tells Anas, if you can monitor your heart morning and evening, and if you can keep a heart clean for every believing male and female, and if you can maintain this level, then know well, this is part of my life. This is part of my system, my sunnah. And whoever will enliven my sunnah, then surely he is that one who has true love for me. Whoever has love for me, then he will be with me in Jannah. Such an easy formula to earn Jannah. And not just Jannah, but rather the companionship of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in Jannah. That is, keep your heart clean for every believing male and female. Ad-deen an-nasiha. The summary of deen is to have a clean heart for every Muslim brother. La yu'minu ahadukum hatta yuhibba li akhi. The narration appears in Bukhari. None of you will have iman until he loves for his Muslim brother what he loves for himself. This is an essential part of our iman. La tadkhulu al-jannata hatta tu'minu. O my ummah, listen very carefully. You will never be able to put foot into Jannah. The doors of Jannah will be closed. And the only ticket to enter Jannah is to have iman in Allah. But then again, your iman is never complete unless you have love for one another. Loving your Muslim brothers and loving for them what you love for yourself, wishing well for them, this is part of your iman, which is your ticket to enter Jannah. Then Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gives us a formula to earn love for one another, and that is make salam common amongst us. So ulama has explained to us that sahaba radiallahu anhum, their hearts were absolutely clean for the next person. They always wished well for the next. Jarir bin Abdullah radiallahu anhum, that great illustrious companion of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who was known as the Yusuf of this ummah. Here, once on one occasion he states, بَيَعْتُ رَسُولَ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ عَلَىٰ إِقَامِ الصَّلَاةِ وَإِيْتَاءِ الزَّكَاةِ وَالنُسْحِ لِكُلِّ مُسْلِمْ. I pledged allegiance on the hands of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam that I will carry out the following three commands. Number one, I will perfect and beautify my salah. I will perform salat on time and I'll be punctual upon my salah. I will not discard and neglect my salah. As you know, salat is the most essential thing in the life of a believer. Secondly, ita is zakah. O Nabi of Allah, I will every year discharge my zakat on time. Happily, wholeheartedly, I give my zakah. And lastly, when nushi li kulli muslim, I will wish well for every believer in this world. Ulama have written under the commentary of this hadith that once Jarir bin Abdullah radiallahu anhu had sent his servant to go and purchase a horse. The servant goes, he does, strikes the deal, and he comes back with this horse. Jarir radiallahu anhu, "Bikam ishtarayta hadha al-faras?" Tell me, what did you pay for this horse? The servant replies, 300 dirhams. Jarir radiallahu anhu looks at the horse and he says, perhaps this horse was underpriced. Perhaps it is more valuable. Take back another 100 dirhams and go and give it to the owner. The servant takes another 100 dirhams, returns to the owner, And then this owner was, of course, extremely excited and happy to receive another 100 dirhams. He comes back with the horse. Now how much have you paid? He says, 400 dirhams. Again he looks at the horse, and he says, perhaps it's still underpriced. Perhaps it holds a higher value than this. Take back another 100 dirhams. And like this, the seven goes and returns. Until he eventually paid 800 dirhams for this horse. People look at Jarir bin Abdullah, and they ask him, are you foolish? Have you lost your mind and sanity? The man is happy to sell his horse for 300, and you pay 800. He says, I cannot forget the bay'ah, the pledge of allegiance taken on the hand of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. I will wish well for every Muslim brother of mine. Nabi alayhi salam sitting with his sahaba radiallahu anhum, and then he prophesizes that a man will come short while, and this man is from the people of Jannah. Amr bin As radiallahu anhu, Abdullah bin Amr bin As radiallahu anhu, who was also part of this gathering, he said, I became very eager and desirous to know who is this person. Lo and behold, it is Sa'd bin Abi Waqqas radiallahu anhu. The next day, this exact same thing occurs. A man will pass by, and this man is from the people of Jannah. The exact same sahabi passes by. Lo and behold, Sa'd bin Abi Waqqas. Abdullah bin Amr bin As says, I thought of a plan. I want to look in this man's life and see what is so special and unique in him that he has earned such a great status that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has guaranteed him Jannah in this world. Abdullah bin Amr bin As says, I went to this great sahabi, and then I spoke to him and I asked him for a place to lodge and stay for a few nights. This sahabi said, by all means you are coming, welcome to stay with me. So the first night came, I went to his house, and then I pretended as if I'm fast asleep, closing my eyes to make it seem as if I'm asleep. But in the meantime, I was awake and observing whatever this man was doing that night. But to my amazement and surprise, the entire night went by when this man was also asleep. Yes, at times he would get up and move from side to side and then engage in some tasbih and dhikr, but nothing special and unique about him. The next night, the exact same thing occurs. After 3 nights, the sahabi, Abdullah bin Amr bin As, he approached this great sahabi, Sa'd bin Abi Waqqas, and then he exposes the reality before him, that I had no real reason for staying with you. The only reason was to see what you are doing in late hours of the night, that you have become so beloved and dear in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Sa'd radiallahu anhu replies, according to my understanding, there is absolutely nothing. The only thing I may tell you is that I have a clean heart for every believing male and female. I have a clean heart for every believing male and female. And perhaps this is the reason that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has already declared me as a Jannati. Ulama have mentioned that jealousy and pride, jealousy and having an evil eye towards others, this is a salient feature of the Jews. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Quran states that الَّذِينَ آتِيْنَاهُمُ الْكِتَابِ يَعْرِفُونَهُمْ كَمَا يَعْرِفُونَ أَبْنَاءَهُمْ. The Jews, they recognize Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam as the messenger of Allah, like they are able to recognize their sons to be their own children. They have absolutely no doubt in the truthful nature of his nubuwa. But what drove them to go and reject his nubuwa was the jealousy that was burning in their hearts. They could not digest and accept the fact that the final messenger came amongst the Arab and not the Bani Israel. This drove them to disbelieve in the nubuwat of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Likewise, we find this quality of jealousy is also a salient feature of the munafiqeen. Allah Rabbul Izzah in the Quran states, وَإِنَّ مِنْكُمْ لَمَنْ لَيُبَطِّئًا. O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when you're out in campaign, there are amongst you certain people who procrastinate, they delay, they calculate the options, they look at the horizon, and they say, soon we'll make preparations and we'll go out. And slowly they lag behind. So you go out in the path of Allah and you stay behind. And if fate had it such that you went and returned with some type of defeat and loss, then they take joy in this loss and defeat of yours. And they tell one another, we told you people not to go, why didn't you listen to us? But when it's the opposite, when you return with victory and you've earned the divine help of Allah, then they get caught up in this misery and regret. Instead of sharing this joy and happiness, they say, Ya Laytani, how I wish I was also with them. How they can't accept that the Muslims have earned victory. This is a salient feature of the munafiqeen. In the 10th part, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about the battle of Tabuk. A very great, very challenging journey that took place. The path is very challenging, very tedious, very cumbersome. The Nabi of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam wakes up and he announces to his Sahaba, there's a great journey awaiting us ahead. We need people to contribute for this journey. So a very wealthy and rich Sahabi comes and he contributes an entire camel load in the path of Allah. Munafiqeen are observing. They can't spend themselves and they can't see someone else spending and progressing in terms of dunya wa akhirah. They begin to cast blasphemous remarks. This man, he's a show-off. His contribution has no sincerity. His contribution is because of ostentation. Hadha mura'in. Allah says, another person comes, a very poor, weak Sahabi, and he has absolutely nothing but a handful of dates, which he presents before the Nabi of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The hypocrites can't even see this man spending in the path of Allah. They then cast blasphemous remarks, and they mock at this man, telling him, Allah doesn't need your charity. Go back with your deeds, we don't need you. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala takes them to task for mocking at the believers. What drove them to this? This jealousy burning in their hearts. Ulama have explained that jealousy is the first evil that came into existence in the heaven. When Shaitan was commanded to prostrate before Adam alayhi salam, he was jealous of Adam. He could not see that Adam alayhi salam is better than him. Likewise, the first evil to come into existence on the surface of this earth was the evil of jealousy. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's command had come, the two sons of Adam alayhi salam, Habil and Qabil, either one must marry the sister of the other. And it happened to be such that Habil, his wife was more beautiful than the wife of his brother. And this led him to go and murder his brother. Nabi alayhi salam says, right until the day of Qiyamah, every murder that will take place, a share of the sin, a share of the murder, will be written in the book of deeds of Qabil for committing the first murder on earth. A simple solution to earn Jannah, to earn the companionship of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, clear our hearts, cleanse our hearts, purify our souls, have a good heart for every Muslim brother, wish well for the next, ad-deenun nasiha. Nabi alayhi wa sallam says, deen is to have nasiha, to wish well for the next, to love for him what you love for yourself. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to grant us the tawfiq to make amal. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Thank you.